Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Guys, we are here with the Hollywood Life podcast, and we've got a very special lady here with us today, and you all know her from both The Bachelor and from Bachelor in Paradise. Welcome, Amanda Stanton.
Yay. Hey. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining Ali Stagnita, my co-anchor here today, and of course Nick, our silent producer. And we are all back to work after, well, at least I had a vacation.
Yes,
but we kind of had a vacation from the podcast for a week or so. So great to have you back, Amanda.
Thank you.
And listen, you've got some very exciting news.
Yes,
you have this very it's beautiful looking new book called Now Accepting Roses: Finding Myself While Searching for the One and Other Lessons I Learned from The Bachelor.
Yes, I'm super excited. I've been working on it for so long, and I feel like the day's finally come. So it's really exciting.
Well, you know, it is really a long process writing a book.
A lot longer than I expected. Yeah.
It's hard. It's not easy to write a book and to get them organized and everything. And of course, you're very busy because you're a mom of two little girls. You have Kinsley, 5, who has just gone to kindergarten.
Charlie, 5.
Oh, Charlie is 5. I've got this all mixed up. Okay, Charlie's 7. 5 and Kinsley is 7.
Yes.
And they've just started school for the year. And so you've got your hands full with your little girls and with writing a book. And we want to hear everything that you're doing. But tell us, like, why exactly did you decide that you needed to write this book?
So it was something I really wanted to do after I went on the show. I kind of went from getting married super young, having that not work out.
And you were, like, what, 21 when you got married?
21, yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't gone on a date in years. My first date was on national TV on The Bachelor. And then after that...
And that was Ben Higgins' season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I went on Paradise, and I had, you know, got engaged on that show. And after that, it
just kind of seemed... To Josh Murray.
To Josh, yeah. So after, it just kind of seemed like I was... After not dating for so long, then all of a sudden I was, you know, dating, and it was moving super fast because I was on this show where everything moves so quickly. So I kind of got what I said in the book was, like, it's like a crash course in dating where I learned so much over a short period of time and kind of felt like not a professional at dating, so I'm not. And it's funny because I wrote this. I'm like, I feel like that's why it's so relatable, is because I'm definitely not, and I make a lot of mistakes, but I've learned from them. So that's kind of what I talk about in here, is just what I've learned from my dating experiences.
When Peter Krause has been here before, and he talks about how from going on The Bachelor, or on The Bachelorette in his case, and then to real life dating, it was like the weirdest thing for him, because he was like, the producers are just like kiss on the first date. And so he like went for the kiss, and the girl was
on
like,
the first date
right, and the girl was like, what are you doing? And so are there things kind of that you've realized when you've re-entered the real dating world
that you can't do when it's not on TV?
Okay, so there's actually a part in my book where I talk about that, and I'm saying, like, on the show we talk about our feelings so much, and you're on a first date and you're opening up about, like, your past relationships and your childhood trauma and all this stuff. And it's like, if you're on a real life first date, not on the show, like, you'd scare somebody away.
Right.
But on the show, it's normal.
Right.
That's what you're supposed to do. So it's definitely different dating on the show than it is in real life.
So it's kind of hyper fast on the show.
Very.
And how in general have your dates been since you've been dating off the show? Did you have to tell yourself to slow down?
Sometimes, but I also think after my relationships from the show didn't work out, it was almost refreshing to go back to, like, normal time where you could take something slow, but also you get used to taking things really fast on the show. So it's like, I mean, on the show, on Paradise, you get engaged after 3 weeks. Wow. So in real life, like, you maybe have, I mean, I maybe go on one or two dates with somebody in 3 weeks, you know? So,
so you got engaged literally in 3 weeks to Josh?
Yes. Yeah.
And did you feel, just going back to that, did you feel after 3 weeks that you were ready? Or did you feel pressured because you were on Bachelor in Paradise?
I mean, honestly, at the time, I felt ready because you're spending so much time with that person. I mean, it's only 3 weeks, but you're with them 24/7. So it's kind of like being on a 3 week long date. So you do talk about a lot of things, but you're also, you know, isolated from the rest of the world. So that's all you have going on in your mind. Like, I remember when I was on the show, like, my dreams would be about The Bachelor. You know, I was like completely isolated from reality. So at the time, I was ready. But after, like, now looking back, I definitely wasn't ready.
Yeah, I feel like you're literally on a secluded island with nobody but these however many people.
And also, you don't want to get kicked off the show. And if you kind of don't hook up and have feelings for someone and they have feelings for you, then the way they set the show up, you could be out.
Yeah. My first time around with Josh, though, I was like, I mean, I literally thought like I was going to marry him.
Well,
you
really
thought. Yeah. Yeah, I did.
I mean, and also, Josh Murray was a hot commodity coming on that show originally. And then he showed his true colors in a few different ways afterwards.
But Andy had written, who had been the bachelorette and had chosen him and then broken up with him, she had written about issues that she had. Mm-hmm. Were you aware of those issues when you were dating, when you got together with Josh on Bachelor in Paradise?
So, kind of. So her book came out as we were leaving for Paradise. So I had never read it. I knew nothing about it. I had never met him before because I know now everybody like meets beforehand. My first time meeting him was on the show. So I didn't know anything. And then when I was on the show, I don't know if you guys watched that season, but it was like an issue that came up. People were like, Andy had said this and that.
Yes, but I remember that.
Yeah, I had already gone on a couple dates with him. I was like really into him. So, and he was telling me, oh, it's not true. So I gave him the benefit of the doubt. And I think everybody's been in a situation like that where you really like someone, so you ignore red flags or you make excuses for them. I mean, I got so much crap for it, but I was like, you know what? Everybody has done that before, or a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, that's something that you talk about in your book. Mm-hmm. In fact, the whole start of the book really is about red flags, because you talk about your relationship with your first husband. Well, I guess you only had one husband. So with your ex-husband and even in the prologue, you talk about bad boys, that you're always attracted to bad boys and that your first husband ended up being a bad boy.
Yes.
And so you kind of start off your book with warning other young women about bad boys and red flags. And so do you feel now, and then you went into you'd already had your marriage, and then you went into the Josh relationship with red flags. Why do you think, or do you think that the red flags, like when, were they really settled in your mind when you ended your marriage and before you got into the relationship with Josh, or was it not until after Josh that you went, you know what, I have an issue with these things and they are red flags?
I mean, I saw things in a relationship, which is ultimately why we ended up breaking up. But I think everything in hindsight, it's 2020. Sometimes when you're in it, you make excuses or you try to put blame on yourself or whatever it is. But definitely, like, in hindsight, I was like, okay, this was definitely an issue that I probably should have ended things sooner. But
with Josh?
Yeah, or, like, you know, with anyone, I guess.
Oh, with
like
your husband, too.
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes we drag things on for too long and we try to make it work, so... Mm-hmm.
I feel like women also just feel like they have to make it work sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I also think that, again, women in particular feel like maybe they're too picky or they have too many, you know, things in their criteria. So they try to just like bring it down and they're like, oh, like the red flag, like that's just me being picky. And
yeah,
so
you like try nobody's to make it perfect. Work.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. But then like some things are actually like serious that you need.
Yes. Yeah, totally agree.
Well, I mean, you even confess in your book that before your wedding, like literally pretty much on the eve of your wedding, you were thinking you should cancel it.
Yeah.
Really?
I knew. Yeah. I told my sister, I was like, Krissa, like, I don't think this is going to last. And she was like, you need to tell mom and dad. And I was like, we had family that were like flown out. I was like, no, it's fine. I'm just going to going to go through with it. But yeah.
What would you advise another young woman who is having second thoughts on the eve of her wedding? What would you say to her?
So what I've learned from that is that you always think maybe it'll be easier later on. Like for me, I was like, you know what? We're already having a wedding. It's already here. I can't cancel it now. It'll be easier just to, you know, get a divorce later if I have to, which sounds so ridiculous, but I feel like people do think that way.
Yeah.
And I would just say it's not easier to do, to wait. I feel like the sooner you end things, it's going to be easier, even though it's hard in the moment. But yeah, I've learned just not to drag things on. But it's funny because, I mean, obviously, you know, I wrote in my book everything that I've learned, and it's like advice for other girls that are dating. But at the same time, like, you know, I'm still making mistakes. I was like, I don't want to act like I'm some professional dater because I'm not. But I feel like that's kind of why it's relatable, because I'm not somebody that's been married for 30 years, like telling single people how they should be doing it. It's like kind of like we're all in this together, you know?
Mm-hmm. What do you feel like is the biggest mistake that young, like millennial or, you know, Gen Z girls are making when it comes to dating?
I mean, I think everyone's different, but I know like in my mid-20s, I felt so much more rushed to like find somebody and settle down than I do now, which is weird because I'm 29. And when I was 24, I feel like I felt super rushed. Mm-hmm. But I would just say like you're not on a timeline, because I think when you feel like you're on a timeline is when you're going to settle or when you're going to ignore red flags or, you know, get into a bad relationship. So I would just say being on your own timeline and not rushing things.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of qualities now, after you've been married once, engaged once, and are wiser, what kind of qualities are you looking for? And do you advise other young women to look for in a partner?
So I think everybody has, you know, different wants and needs. And I used to have a list of all these things, like a checklist for everything I was looking mm-hmm. for. And I don't really have that anymore. But I think obviously somebody that's kind and respectful, somebody that's supportive. But I think I need somebody who gives me a little bit of freedom. So that's really important to me. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just
a little bit. How about a lot?
A lot of freedom. Yeah. I mean, I'm super busy. So it's like I can't imagine like dating somebody who was controlling now. Just because I need a lot of freedom, I guess. So that's important to me for sure.
And that was an issue with Josh, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That he was controlling.
Yeah.
How was he controlling to you in your like real life when you were living together?
I mean, so I talk about it a lot in my book, but it was just like, you know, we came off the show engaged and there were just things that I saw, like, you know, he didn't really like me talking to my friends and family, or like my friends that used to stop by to come over and see the kids or whatever. Sometimes it just became like a big ordeal and he didn't really want them coming over. He was tired. It was like always something. And it just kind of seemed like eventually it made me start to isolate myself mm-hmm. from everybody, you know?
So, and that's a really dangerous situation.
Yeah. And it does happen eventually. It's like, slow.
That's the beginning of getting isolated. And then you don't have your own life. And did that occur in your marriage as well? Was that an issue?
I mean, my marriage was different. I feel like he wasn't controlling and didn't try to isolate me, but also he was off kind of living his own life while I was at home with two kids taking care of him. So naturally I isolated myself, but right. It wasn't really like because he wanted me to. It was more just like I was had the one to. I had to.
Yeah.
Do you think that Josh learned? Has he changed? I mean, you said you're still kind of friendly with him.
I mean, okay, so I wrote this book a long time ago, and I mean, I'm sure, I mean, I do believe people can change, and I hope that he has, or, you know, I've made mistakes that I've learned from, and I'm sure he's learned from it. So, I mean, I don't know him like that anymore, but I hope he has.
I love that you write that you were finding yourself while you're searching for the one, because one of like the best advice I've ever received mm-hmm. was that you can't love someone else until you love yourself. How did you kind of realize that you needed to do work maybe on yourself before you could be with someone else?
I mean, I kind of feel like it happened naturally. And it was like after my divorce, I went on the show and then there was another relationship. And eventually I was like, okay, I'm kind of tired of dating. Like I'm kind of over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when I really was like, just learned to be really happy on my own and to be really independent. And I'm at the point now where I'm like, you know, I'd be fine if I were single forever. I don't want to be. Of course, I want to find somebody. But if I didn't, like, I would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of the moral of the book. It's, you know, dating advice, but also learning to be happy on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any problem with guys that have seen you on The Bachelor and The Bachelor in Paradise and then want to date you? Like, maybe not date you for the right reasons?
Yeah. So that's like, so everyone assumes that like, oh, after the show, I bet you dating's so much easier. It's actually so much harder. And I remember I was on Nick's podcast recently and we were talking about, but he's like, if you hadn't gone on the show, do you think that you would still be single? And I was like, no. And he was like, same. It's like, we both think if we never went on the show, we'd probably not be single right now. But mm-hmm. I think it kind of just adds another aspect that you have to look for. Like, you don't want someone that just wants attention or
right. or wants to be with somebody famous.
Someone, yeah. I mean, I never consider myself famous. I get what you're saying. But it's like, yeah, someone that just wants to be associated. So, yeah, that's another thing to look for sure. There's a lot of people out there that are like that too. I bet it would be like that. But yeah.
And how do you tell when you meet someone new, or are starting to date, that they really are in it for the right reasons because they like you?
I think
they're genuine about you.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to tell. Like, people are mm-hmm. pretty good sometimes at, you know, hiding things. But I think, I mean, I've gone on a first date before where a guy asked me about The Bachelor the entire time. And I was like, okay, I can never go out with this guy again, you know?
Yeah.
But then there's also times where maybe in the beginning they really like you, but then once they get a taste of the attention, then they start to actually like that. So it might not be their intention in the beginning, but then they eventually start to really like it. And
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's happened to me also. So,
or there's like that reverse of it, that like they get a taste of it and they don't like, they get nervous that they're dating this like powerful woman too. I've found just that, I mean, they're like, they get, you know, like, oh, she has all this success, and they start to feel like little, and guys hate that, and it makes it hard.
I mean, I feel like just this generation in general, I feel like women are starting to be a lot more independent. And I think, yeah, that can be kind of scary to guys, especially when a lot of times in the past they're used to being like the breadwinner and the man of the house. And, you know, when you kind of have your own stuff going on, I can see how that can be a little intimidating.
I feel like guys are becoming bigger assholes too, though.
Yeah, like, it's like they can't be anymore. I feel like that's why people are waiting so long to get married.
Yes, 100%. But I've also, I mean, even this past season of The Bachelor, like I've been saying, like I was having conversations with my friends about it, and they were like, oh, like the guys just suck. Like every season, like they're just like more and more come on with girlfriends. I'm like, that's because guys suck now. Like every single year, like Trista Sutter's season, they worshipped her.
Yeah.
Worshipped her. The guys were lovely. Like Tanner, like all of them. And as the seasons have progressed, more and more come on with girlfriends or break up with girls to go on the show. More and more are trying to promote their own products, mm-hmm. their own this, their own that, and they're assholes.
Well, but I also think that the producers have got to do more research on the guys, because this was really bad this season. That there was so much, I think, there's so many guys that were there for their own, you know, selfish reasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that they also got to the very end.
It's so sad.
I mean, that's the dating pool.
That's the. I feel like, okay, so now with Instagram.
There's got to be good guys out there.
Instagram and dating apps, I feel like there's always a
way. Shaking your head. No,
there's a way for them to be like looking all the time. So it's like you're always looking for something better. Right. There's too many options these days. It didn't used to be like that when there was no dating apps. You had to meet somebody in real life. Now guys are like sliding into girls' DMs and, you know, there's just like too many options where guys don't want to settle down anymore.
Yeah. But I mean, the same could be for women too. So,
yeah.
I mean, have you...
Girls now are so that much smarter.
We're just smarter. But when you're dating now, are you finding that there are good guys out there?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's some. I mean, they're not always easy to find.
Yeah.
But there's good guys out there.
Well, what's the test? Like, what's the advice that you now give to other women on how to tell if a guy is a good guy, a genuine good guy?
So I think not listening to what they say, but more judging them by their actions is huge, because guys can always tell you what you want to hear. Another thing would just be taking it slow and getting to see things for yourself. Don't get too excited and kind of, I feel like us girls do that. We go on one great date and we're like, oh my God, I met my future husband.
Yeah.
Like you can't do that. Because then you set your expectations too high and then you get let down. So I would say just like taking things slow and being real. Don't expect anything. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of any of the Bachelor Nation people, it seems like a lot of you are in touch. I mean, I look on your Instagram and they're all liking your pictures and commenting. Is there anybody, who are you close to still from Bachelor Nation?
So I'm still close with a lot of them. I'm really close with Lauren Bushnell. I'm close with Corinne, the twins. I'm still friends with everybody from the show, Becca Tilly. We don't really see each other as much as we used to, but we all still keep in touch. So,
and what about any of the guys? Chris Soules is like all over your Instagram.
Is he?
Chris Soules?
He is.
Isn't he in jail?
No, he's not in jail. No, he's all over your Instagram.
Really?
You haven't noticed?
No, I don't really check. I think I don't look at like who likes my
stuff.
I don't know
if you're talking about Chris Soules.
Yeah, the farmer.
He really?
Yes. He's not in jail. I looked at his Instagram too because he was all over yours. I thought, well, I'm going to check him out. No, he's all over on his Instagram promoting his farm and Iowa corn season and things.
That's cute.
Interesting.
I think you have an admirer.
she means he's liking, not posted up. Like there's not pictures of him. He's like liking and commenting on
liking.
Her.
Yeah.
He's liking and commenting.
I've met Chris before a long time ago, actually. Yeah.
I think he's carrying a torch.
Guy. Yeah. And you and Andy became friends too. Andy Dorfman. So that's fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know why I didn't say Andy. Andy is probably one of my closest friends from The Bachelor right now. So
well, you do have a lot in common.
It's funny though because we like never talk about him. People are like, oh my God, I want to be a fly on the wall in that room. I'm like, it's probably not as interesting as you think.
It's a while ago too for her.
It was so long ago. Like we've moved on since then. But yeah, we're really good friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, so why is it that so many of you do stay friends? Is it because of that shared experience? Because only they know what it's like to actually be on Bachelor or Bachelorette or Bachelor in Paradise?
Yeah, I think it's a shared experience that you go through. And also you spend so much time with those people. Like by the end of the show, the girls on my season were like my sisters, basically. Like we shared everything. We experienced a lot of crazy stuff together that nobody else would understand. So it's like you have this special bond that you don't have with really anyone else. So it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you ever be the Bachelorette?
I get asked this every time, and it's like, I really have no desire to go back on reality TV,
but
I mean, if they came up to me with a contract, like, I wouldn't say no.
Nobody would.
Nobody would. But I wouldn't push for it or anything. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, you know, and the interesting thing until this season is that the Bachelorette relationships tend to seem to me to have a higher success rate. Mm-hmm. And I think probably because
they do.
Women are smarter and, you know, more thoughtful about how to find the right guy. But this, you know, this season, because of all these guys having these secret girlfriends, it really went wrong. So do you think that if you went on, like you would have a good success? Like you would find the one with having a pool of at least 25 or 30 guys?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be hard just because you don't know. Like, Hannah didn't know.
I know. She really didn't.
She just got unlucky.
Do you know her?
I don't. I've never met her. She's super cute, though.
Yeah, she's really sweet.
But no, I mean, it's, like, hard to say. I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah.
But
have you been watching Paradise this season? Do you watch? Are you a fan still?
I don't really watch Bachelor and Bachelorette, but I love to watch Paradise.
So okay.
I've watched a couple of the episodes.
What are your thoughts on – did you watch last night?
I didn't.
No, you were traveling. Yeah. Essentially, Derek sends himself home after like his big fight at the Crystalline.
The wedding.
The wedding. Mm-hmm. And people were really bummed out for Derek. Do you know Derek? Do you know John Paul Jones?
I don't know John Paul Jones. But I know Derek. And I mean, I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially at that point. Like, it's not week one. You're kind of getting down to mid-end of the season, and he liked Tayshia, right?
Yeah.
So it's like he didn't like – I think that's a smart thing to do rather than like try to stick around just to stick around.
Yeah.
So, right, and to potentially break someone else's heart. Mm-hmm. Now, what about Robbie Hayes? Are you in touch with him? He's another of your exes.
I'm not in touch with Robbie. I love how everyone just laughs.
Yeah.
What did you learn out of that relationship?
To be fair, like, it wasn't, like, I don't even really consider that a relationship. Like, you know, we just talked about, like, when you are with someone on the show, like, us girls, like, we get so close on the show because we went through the experience together. That's kind of how I felt with Robbie. It was more like he was my friend. Like, I never like, saw future with Robbie or thought it was going to be anything serious. That I did, like, enjoy hanging out with him for a little bit.
Yeah.
And he was also really cool when we were on the season because he was out of his, like, like, I know in real life he's a lot different, but we were, like I said, isolated on an island, so he didn't have access to the things like clubs and college towns. So he was cool.
So when you say he was kind of out of his, like, normal mm-hmm. environment, what is his normal environment? Like,
clubs
what would
and
you
college
say?
Towns.
That's it? That really
I don't
is.
Know. I don't know what he does these days. It's just like what I associate.
Now he's hanging with like some pump rules.
Yeah. Well, he was also Chicks. With Lindsay Chrisley, wasn't he?
Oh, that was like that new accusation. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, whether or not they made a sex tape, they were, I think, dating.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
You got out of that one.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. Good, good, good.
Yeah. It's good you didn't get into that into that relationship too much.
Would you want to date someone else in Bachelor Nation?
Yes. There's somebody that's out there that you're still curious about?
No. I mean, I can't think of anybody. I don't want to say, like, I would never. Nick's one of my good friends. And it's like, it's funny because, like, it's like this little, like, crush that I've had for a little. Ooh. But also, he's one of my good friends, and he knows everything. Like, I call him when I have relationship problems. So if I ever dated him, like, I wouldn't be able to
call him.
Yeah,
but maybe that's where relationship starts, from friendship.
I don't know. I think we're just good as friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why has he not? He's been the Bachelor twice. Mm-hmm. Why has he not found the one?
I mean, I think sometimes relationships just don't work, and I feel like that's what dating's kind of about. Like, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I don't know. He's probably picky. He's made it this far. He's, you know, probably not going to settle with someone that's not right. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's really a lot of your advice that's in the book, is that you shouldn't settle for somebody that's not right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's worse being in a relationship with somebody that's not right. You feel lonelier than you do when you're single.
Absolutely.
Even though we make that mistake a lot. So,
yeah. And finally, your girls. Mm-hmm. When it comes to being a single mom, how do you balance it all and just, you know, writing a book, being a mom of two, living your life?
I go through phases of feeling like I balance everything well to feeling like I don't. Mm-hmm. It just kind of depends on what's going on in my life. But for, I mean, my kids are always number one. They're always my priority. But yeah, I mean, I think making time for work, making time to put my phone away and just spend quality time with my kids is so important. And then also having just me time is really nice. So yeah, I mean, I try to balance it, but it's something I still struggle with sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
How much does your ex-husband see the girls?
So he has them every other weekend, but it's like an extended weekend. So he gets them on Thursday. So that's usually when I travel. Everyone's like, how do you get to do this and that? Mm. And I'd say like 99% of the time when I'm traveling, they're with their dad.
Well, that's good.
This week is actually the longest that I've been away from them since I was on the show. And they're with my mom. And my mom is their favorite person in the world. So they don't even care when I'm coming home. I'm like, it's kind of sad. I miss you so much. But yeah, they're happy and they're loved and they're well taken care of. So
yeah. Good.
And how would, in terms of introducing, like, for another young mother who's dating, how long would you advise before introducing a new man into their lives?
I don't think there's like a set time with anyone. It would just be, I guess, whenever you fully trust somebody and feel like they're ready. Because it does add a little bit of pressure once you introduce them. You have like a sense of like guilt if it doesn't work out. So yeah, I mean, it just depends on the person. But I would say don't like be ignoring red flags and introduce them to your kids. I would wait until you fully trust somebody.
Definitely. It's good advice.
Well, they haven't had a bachelorette yet who has children.
Have they?
No.
Not a bachelorette. I think they did. Did they have a bachelor?
I don't think so.
Oh, didn't Juan Pablo have kids?
Yeah, I think Juan Pablo.
He did?
Yeah. Juan Pablo.
We forget about him.
Yeah, that was like a non-season. Yeah. Even exactly. For Chris Harrison, he doesn't like talking about it.
He's like, never happened.
Yeah, he's like, I don't really know who that is. Nope.
Well, that would be a first and be sort of interesting to have happen. Well, listen, we wish you all the best. And we really hope that you do find the right one.
Yes.
One day.
For you and your girls.
We will keep watching to see if you end up as a bachelorette, whether it's this season or next. I think that could be really interesting.
That'd be great.
Because we'd love to see you find love. And so for all of those of you out there that want great dating and relationship advice and insights into what The Bachelor and going on The Bachelor in Paradise is like, you got to check out and pick up Amanda Stanton's new book, Now Accepting Roses.
Yay.
Yay.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks
for having me. This was fun.